on WIXX, Green Bay's Packers Radio Network radio station.
It's time for Talkin' Football.
Breaking down the Packers game with Murphy, Katie, and Nick.
And the voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrabee.
Rodgers shotgun stacks two receivers to the right. In motion, Urban to the left. Snap to Rodgers. Swings it right side. Devontae's got a touchdown under the coverage of Gladney. Right side of the end zone, just behind the pylon.
Well, Wayne, the main thing is that streak is still alive.
Yes, I know. That was a victory all on its own.
First, the little things in life.
Right? Yes.
You know, it started out so promising, and they came out of the gate, and, the time of possession, everything was just looking so good, and it just took a turn when Dalvin Cook got the football, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, he's a great back. I mean, you know, when Dalvin Cook is healthy, and again, he missed 21 of his first 50 games in his career, missed a game earlier this season against Atlanta, but he had 2 weeks to rest up and get ready for this game, and boy, was he electric. He is, you know, Murph, I don't know if there's a better back when he's right than Dalvin Cook, but I know there are some that are really good, but he's right up there at the top of the list, and he was magnificent yesterday in Green Bay.
It was interesting to watch because it wasn't like, at least from our couch, it didn't seem like Minnesota was doing anything real flashy. They just kept feeding him and feeding him and feeding him, and you couldn't stop him. It was so demoralizing.
You know, it's interesting because I don't know, and maybe it's happened, but I haven't been around a game where I saw an opponent score on every possession, score touchdowns on every possession right through the third quarter. Now, there were only four of them, but they scored touchdowns on all four of those possessions. The Packers didn't get a stop of the Minnesota offense until the fourth quarter. That was really astounding when you think about it.
Yeah.
It's an issue. It's a problem. If you want to win championships, you're not going to win it with that type of defense. I mean, just not.
And as you mentioned, the Packers got off to the good start they were hoping for, scored on their first drive of the game, which is now seven straight games they've done that. And I think one of the longest streaks they've had in that regard. But, the Vikings kept matching them. And on the kind of windy day it was, I noticed even when they were going north and the wind seemed to be at their back, that the wind was such that that ball was floating a little bit in the passing game. And it's a big reason why the Minnesota only threw it 14 times. And the Packers, when they were down by two scores in the second half, in the fourth quarter especially, even though they had the wind, it was, you know, still difficult to throw the football the way they needed to.
Yeah, I was worried at halftime, and I know it seems like you're trying to play the smart guy at halftime, like with hindsight, but when you put together a 13-play and a 16-play scoring drive like the Packers did and dominated those drives and time of possession and all those things that you want for your team, to have it tied at halftime was concerning because the way the game was going, you weren't going to have enough possessions to overcome any type of deficit, and that's ultimately what happened.
Yeah, the third quarter, the offense stalled a little bit. A couple of penalties hurt them. There's no doubt about that. Matter of fact, penalties overall on the day, what do they have, 9 for 85?
Yeah, that was bad.
I think those are season highs. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But they were really a factor in the ball game, as Matt LaFleur mentioned. And kind of unusual for the Packers, who have been a relatively good team in terms of injuries. But you're right, Nick. When you got into that situation and you had a team that was controlling the football the way Minnesota was, it was going to be hard. The possessions, this was a low possession game when you think about it.
Turnovers a problem too, Wayne, and not for us turning the ball over, but just the defense not being able, and maybe that's because they're not getting much up front or whatever the case is, they're not generating turnovers. They're not getting those balls.
You know, you're exactly right. I think it's four turnovers now. This was like the fifth game of the season where they didn't get a turnover. And that's something they did very well last year. I believe they had 25 turnovers, takeaways last year. And this year, it's four. And it's among the, it's the fewest in the league next to, I believe, one other team that has three. But that's a major problem. That's something that the defense did last year, guys, and they took the ball away. They had major pressure on the quarterback, not just in sacks, which they had, but also in pressures, moving the quarterback off his spot. That led to some of the turnovers that were generated last year. There's no question about that. This year, those are two areas where the Packers have really struggled offensively to make things happen, and that's one of the reasons why they haven't performed the way they did a year ago when they were so good in the red zone. And yesterday, Minnesota was 2-for-2 in the red zone. They were so good at forcing key turnovers, and they were so good at pressuring the quarterback, and that's just not happened week to week for the Packers thus far this year.
Wayne Larrivee, voice of the Green Bay Packers, joining us live on WIXX. You know, Jamal Williams, he does a great job, Wayne, but you really see how valuable Aaron Jones is when he's not in the game, don't you?
You do. You know, and Jamal does a lot of good things, but Aaron Jones is that explosive back, and when he's on, he gives them a dimension that Jamal just can't give them. He's just not that kind of player. But Jamal's a heck of a back. They, you know, really does a lot of things well. You know, when they got down to the second half of that ball game, though, they needed a big spark. They needed somebody. And the Vikings were taking away Devontae Adams in terms of downfield capability. But the Packers needed someone else to be able to step up. Maybe at a running back on a day like yesterday, probably would have been a good spot for Aaron Jones to make a few big runs, and that would have changed things a little bit in that ball game.
720 WIXX, we're talking football with Wayne Larrivee. More Wayne coming up next on IXX.
Snap. Scrambles to his right. Scrambling again. Winds up, hit from behind. The ball comes up incomplete. Is it a fumble? The officials, no whistle. He was hit from behind. The ball came loose, and time has wound down in this ball game.
Oh, you gotta be kidding
and
me.
The Vikings have won it 28-22.
You know, Wayne, for a second there was like, okay, we got a chance to pull this thing out, and then that happened. That was the end.
Yeah, I think they got it with 47 seconds to go. No timeouts. Heading north, and apparently the wind, the wind is always swirling, as you know, Murph, being on the floor of Lambeau Field.
Yep.
The wind's always swirling, but, you know, you thought, well, maybe they've got the wind to their back here a little bit. Maybe they can make something happen. And, you know, they were moving along, and then they just ran out of time. And, you know, the thing that was interesting, two things that really struck us in the broadcast booth about this ball game. And that is number one. Minnesota's depleted secondary. Now, Devontae scored 3 touchdowns, had 7 catches, but was contained. If you look at the numbers, you know, he didn't go off on Minnesota.
Right.
He had, he had 7 catches, 53 yards, okay? Yeah. A long gain of 15. They can live with that. But no one else could really get open on a consistent basis, it seemed like. Tanyan had 5 catches, did a nice job. Sternberger had 3. But you look at, Valdez-Scantling, 1 catch. Malik Taylor, 1. St. Brown had 1 catch. Equanimeous St. Brown. Shepard had 1 catch. Nobody was able to really go off on Minnesota and give the Packers the balance in the receiving game and the passing game that they really needed to have against the Vikings. So, I thought that was number one. That stood out to us a little bit. The other thing was, the offensive line of the Vikings, and, you know, as my counterpart, Larry McCarron, who studies these things, mentioned, they were just kind of an average group coming in. They weren't any world beaters coming in, and yet they did a good job of controlling the line of scrimmage in this ball game.
Yeah.
You go back and look at the defensive stats that are important, and that is tackles for loss, sacks. The Packers had 1 sack. They had 3 tackles behind the line of scrimmage. They had 1 quarterback hit. No interceptions, no forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries. That's pretty telling.
How many missed tackles did they have yesterday? Holy cow.
Yeah, well, they don't put those on the score sheet.
I wonder why, yeah. I wonder why they don't do that. Yeah. You know, we were talking off air, too, about being a personnel guy and how it's got to drive you crazy. This kid for the Eagles, Travis Fulgham, has got potential superstar written all over him. He's tearing it up. He was a Green Bay Packer off season for 4 days. And you got to say, now, how did that guy fall through the cracks, you know?
You know, it's interesting because players, 90% of the players, that Dalvin Cook can play in any offense, okay? Don't get me wrong. Aaron Rodgers can run any offense. There are a handful of players who can do anything anywhere in any kind of style of offense or defense.
Mm-hmm.
But most players, 99% of the players in pro sports have to find the right fit for them, have to find the right coach that believes in them, maybe the right system that runs what they can do best, be put in the right spot to make a success. And it's hard to find sometimes, but maybe Travis Fulgham has found that in Philadelphia, because he sure looked the part last night.
He sure did.
We say it every time we talk to you, Wayne. It's such a week-to-week league, and the way you analyze it, the way you look at it, the way you feel about yourself 7 days later can be so dramatically different. And it is awfully – what concerns me looking at the NFC is it is awfully crowded in the big five-win column right now. Six teams have 5 wins. That includes the Bears who lost and the Rams who lost. They're all sitting there at 5 wins. Seattle's got 6. And now you're going up against a 49ers team that's trying to bounce back and get that 5th win. This is such a huge game Thursday against an opponent that I don't really understand what we're going to get from them. They've been so banged up.
You know, it's a week-to-week league, Nick, and the Packers don't even have a week.
For the Right.
You know what I mean? Don't even have a week. We got a few days here before the next game. Sometimes that's good, coming off a performance, you know, where the team is very, really disappointed in itself. Sometimes that's good to just shake it off and play again.
We'll see what happens, because like, I think Kittle went down yesterday, right? And Garoppolo went down.
Yep.
So their status will be maybe in question for Thursday night, huh?
Could be, yeah.
All right, we'll have to see. Well,
that's a deep San Francisco team, though, Murph. They have a lot of talent on that team. Nonetheless, but you're right. They've been hit by injuries harder than any team in the league.
Look forward to chatting about it Friday morning here in IXX, Wayner. All right, you have a good week, and we'll
talk
to you then.
Sounds good, guys.
All right, partner. Thank you. That'll do it for Talkin' Football here on WIXX.
You've been listening to Talkin' Football
with the voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrabee.
And there is your dagger!
Listen back the morning after every Packers game for an in-depth breakdown, exclusively on the Murphy in the Morning Show.